Once again, the scripture reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to be put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh saw glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord.
Very good to after its kind. But we're told Christ lives in me. He said, when you see me, you see him. And we all need to be able to say that, right? And I think that that's what C.S. Lewis was trying to say. We may not agree with everything that he says, but I agree with this point. That men are mirrors or carriers of Christ to other men. Sometimes unconscious carriers, this good infection can be carried by those who have not got it themselves, people who were not but usually it is those who know him that bring him to others. I did turn it on. Okay, let's start over. Good evening. Keep an eye on me, brother. I do this at home too, you know. But what we really want to get our minds around is who we have become. That when people see us, when they are around us, they're seeing Jesus. And so we talked about we are called to awake. We are called to be aroused to righteousness. And these are the other things that we're going to talk about. But tonight we're going to talk about our call to holiness. I'd like to thank the brother who led singing this morning and also this evening to help us to think about what it means to be called by God, what it means to be holy. And so we're called to be like Jesus. Remember the scripture that was read in our hearing this evening, and let's read it again. For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen
the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. The things that are not, so that he might nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God, but by his doing. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Did you know it's okay to boast? We just read that, right? But where do we boast? That's the key. Not in ourselves, not in our doing, not in our accomplishments, but in the Lord. That's where our boasting, that's where our rejoicing is found. And so we looked at the word kaleo, or call, and it is a personal appeal. It means to invite, to summon. It's used particularly as a divine call to partake in the fellowship of God, to share in his purpose for our lives. And then the next word is to consider. And really the force of this word, to consider, means to see what God sees, to think about what he thinks about. So we're to consider, to seriously see our calling, to hear it and to heed that call. We spoke about that this morning. Our calling is a very serious matter. It's not something that we should be lackadaisical in. Remember, the problem that the people of God have always had, even until this day, is spiritual stupor, to be spiritually asleep. And so we're called to be aroused, to awake, and to be who God wants us to be. And so let's think about our calling as it pertains to holiness. Holiness is more than dot, 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 dot. So let me ask you this question. How many of you feel holy or sanctified today? You know, the Commodores had a song, and maybe you YouTube this or Google it when you get home. I feel sanctified. And, you know, and it's got a nice beat to it, you know, and he's talking about this love song, how this girl makes him feel. But holiness is more than a feeling. Holiness is not a production. It's not a position. It's not a feeling. It is a function. It is a fact. Because some days we just don't feel good, right? Some days, you know, your back is hurting, or your head is hurting, or your toe is hurting, and some days you're kind of grumpy, and some days you're kind of bent over, and you just feel like, ah. But that has nothing to do with holiness. Because holiness is who God has made us to be. Holiness is about who God is. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? And so let's think about God's call to holiness. We know the word itself means to be set apart, to be directed by, to be devoted to something. And so the Greek translation of holiness is hagiomos, and the Hebrew word is kodesh. And so both the Greek and the Hebrew words speak about, don't speak about works, but they speak about condition. And out of this condition comes function. Out of this condition comes conduct. And so it's not that we help, you know, little old ladies across the street that makes us holy, or we work at the food shelf, or we go and we shovel somebody's snow if you're in Minnesota, you know. That's not what makes us holy. But being holy makes us see things differently. It makes us see people differently. It makes us see ourselves differently. We see ourselves from heaven's point of view and not the world's. And so, again, just think about it this way. Holiness is God's doing. It's not something that you can do. It's not something that I can do. We can't make ourselves holy. Remember the scripture we read from 1 Corinthians 1? Notice verse 30. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Whose doing? His doing. By his doing, we have been sanctified. That's another word for holy. By his doing, we have been made righteous, right with God. By his doing, we have been redeemed. It's by his doing, not by yours, not by mine. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can get it twisted. And if we get it twisted, we will always end up in the wrong place. We'll think, you know what, I gotta read my Bible more. Yeah, I need to do that, but that won't make me holy. I need to treat brother so-and-so better. Yeah, I need to do that, but that won't make me holy. I need to do all, and we have all this list of things that we check off, right? That won't make us holy. God makes us holy, and out of that holiness will come a different life. Will come all of those things that we are to be about. Why? Because we are about him, and he is about us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. To those who are, or those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, notice this, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Who has made us holy? Who has sanctified us? It's the work of the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that sanctifies. That doesn't mean that we run around and do backflips and we do all kinds of things. No, doesn't mean at all. People, again, have it all messed up in their heads. That's not what holiness is being about. Holiness is about belonging to him, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood by grace and peace. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. When anything was ever sanctified or made holy, it has been by what? Blood. The priests, when they would go into the tabernacle or the temple, they had to sprinkle blood upon the altar. Why? Because they were to be holy. Jewish historians have said that on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in and offer that atoning sacrifice, and they would tie a rope around his ankle, because if he wasn't holy, he wasn't coming out of there alive, and so they'd have to drag him out. Now, that's legend, I believe, but you get the point, right? That to come before the presence of God, I have to be who God has made me to be. Not going through the motions, not pretending, not putting on airs so brother so-and-so can pat me on the back and say how wonderful I am. No. What does God know about me? What does he see in me? Am I who he has made me to be? And so we are made holy by the sacrificial work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled by his blood, to be set apart by his blood. And so that word, hagiomos, is used 10 times in the New Testament. A kadosh, that Hebrew word, is used 116 times in the Old Testament. And many of those usages are in the book of Leviticus. What is the book of Leviticus about? Primarily, it's about the Levitical priesthood, right? And it's about the Levitical priesthood that was sanctified, that was set apart for the use of God. But also, it's a book that reminds us who sanctified them, who set them apart. It doesn't take long for us to read the book of Leviticus and see this phrase or these phrases stand out. I am the Lord, your God. I am the Lord. I am the Lord your God. I am the God who sanctifies you. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord, for I, the Lord, am holy. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, am holy. We see these phrases again and again and again and again and again. Why? Because we need to know who God is. And we need to know what God does. He is the reason, the only reason, that we can be made holy. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 26. Thus you are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. Did you hear that? He's reminding them who he is and what he has done to them and for them. I have made you mine. Again, we sing a song, right? I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. I'm mine no more. So that's a powerful reminder to the people of God. Look in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Starting in verse 1. You are the sons of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves nor shave your forehead for the sake of the dead. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you to be a people of his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Why did God give his people so many commandments or rules? And many of them seem arcane, don't they? They seem to be, wow, just kind of outlandish maybe. Because they were to be distinct from everyone else. You belong to me. You are my people. I am the Lord your God. And then we see the same thing in the New Testament. The same thing in the New Testament, a different word, but the same teaching, the same concept. And so God has called us to holiness, and we are made holy, and we are to be holy his. Did you hear that? He made us holy, H-O-L-Y, and we are to be holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. What does that mean? I'm his. Period, full stop, end of conversation. That we are wholly his. We belong to him. We don't belong to anything or anyone else. We are his. We see that many times in Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Question. Where is the commandment there? Where is the imperative in that verse? Be holy. That's not a suggestion. He's not saying if you feel like it, think about it. If you want to, you can be. No, the Lord is saying, be holy, for I am holy. We cannot come before God if we are not who God has made us to be. Somebody say amen. Amen. I know that's right. We can't be. But so he's made us that way, and so he commands that. He demands that. Be holy, for I am holy. Be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God never asks the impossible. Have you noticed that? He never asks the impossible. But he does ask the demanding. He does ask those things that stretch us, those things that prove us, those things that try us, those things that challenge us. But everything that he calls us to, he helps us do. He didn't say, you be holy and you figure out how to do it. He said, no, I made you holy. And you continue in this way. You continue to be set apart, to be sanctified. And so something dramatic has happened to us. Something has just, as we said before, has taken us and molded and made us after a different sort. That's what it means to be in Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, do you not know? There's that word again, right? That phrase again. Stop acting like you don't know. You know this. Do you not know? Yes, you know. He's telling us that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to that one whom you obey. Either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in what? Sanctification. Resulting in holiness. Being radically different. Being radically changed. That we belong to the Lord. That we are His. We are His slave. We're no longer a slave to sin. It's no longer about what I want to do. How many of us, Sunday morning, we say, you know what? Oh, man, I gotta go to church. I gotta, you know, we go through that, right? Tell the truth. Change, I get to. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. It's a wonderful thing to belong to the Lord, to be His servant, to be His slave. That He is our master, that He is the one that we belong to, and we're free. We're free from sin. Now, does that mean that we won't sin? No. But it means that when we do, what do? We take it before the Lord, and we confess it, and we forsake it. And every time we sin, we do the same thing. Because, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to do better. Because you've made me holy. And you know what he does? Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. He takes them away. And when he sees us, he sees our Savior, our Lord. Because we have been redeemed by his blood. We were once holy, sanctified, set apart, but it wasn't to God. It was sin. There is no in between. You know, sometimes we play a silly game with ourselves. We try to find that in-between spot. But as the old saying goes, he that walks down the middle of the street gets hit by the bus. There's no in-between. Jesus said, either you're with me or you're against me. Either you're gathering or you're scattering. You cannot serve God and self or mammon or the world, whatever word we want to put in there. And so what do we have to do then? Be directed and devoted to God rather than sin, rather than self. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexuality or neither the sexual, immoral, idolaters or adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Wouldn't it be horrible if if it stopped there. But, don't you like those big buts in the Bible? But, this radical difference. Something has changed. But you're not that way anymore. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We are not who we used to be because God has made us who He wants us to be. But we need to stay in that way. We need to continue to walk in that way. And God will help us to be that. You know, the games that we play, sometimes we say things like this. Well, God wants me to be happy. Have you ever said that or ever heard that? Next time somebody says that, look him in the eye and say, God's not, no. He doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy. And when you're holy, you can be better than being happy. You can rejoice. You can have a joy that neither time nor circumstance will diminish. Why? Because that rejoicing is in the Lord. That rejoicing is in the relationship that we have with Him. And sometimes people say, well, God knows my heart. God knows my heart. Yeah, that's right. That ought to scare you to death. That ought to shake you up, turn you inside out and upside down, and make you run begging the Lord for forgiveness. Lord, you know my heart. My heart's not right. Please make it right. Please make me who you want me to be. Or people will say, nobody's perfect. No, but you can be complete. You can be whole. You can be one that's undivided. Because you are pledging Him your full allegiance. Lord, I'm yours. Who are you to judge me? People say. Well, I can judge with righteous judgment, can't I? I can judge according to the truth. Or people might say, I'll change someday. Someday I'll change. Make that someday today. Make today the day that you will no longer say no to the Lord, but you'll say yes to Him. Lord, I'm coming. I want to be yours. Because the longer we put off being His, the harder it is to be His. You ever notice that? Someday, and then that someday, that mañana keeps getting pushed further and further away. I fall again, so why try? I just fail. I would just make a complete mess of it. Yes, I will. But that's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the holiness of God. If we say we have no sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, does what? Cleanses us from some unrighteousness. No. All. What does all mean? All means all. That's all means, right? All unrighteousness. Where we are cleansed. We're made whole again. And so let's stop playing games. And let's listen to the call of God. Let's receive His call. Let's obey His call to holiness, to be who He wants us to be. And so God makes and wants His people to be pure. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, and also verse 7, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Three times in those verses, we see that same word, right? Sanctification, sanctification, sanctification. Holiness. He's not called us to impurity, but He's called us to be set apart. You know, the next time that show comes on TV that that would lead our mind astray, or that music comes on the radio that is suggestive, or that whatever it might be, turn the channel. Turn it off. Why? Because that will lead me away from the holiness of God, who God desires me to be, who He's made me to be. And I'm not going to let anything come between me and God. You know, if I let something or someone come between me and God, they're closer to Him than I am. And that's not going to happen. I'm going to be who He has called me to be. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. How? Through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the purpose? It's all about Him calling us because He wants us. We've been created by God for God. You ever bought something and it said made in China or made someplace and it was a piece of junk? And you knew it was a piece of junk by looking at the tag. You said, this is not going to last. I bought a trimmer and got a coupon. Got home, put the battery in the thing. Guess what? Didn't work. Put another battery in the thing. Piece of junk. Dear heart, God doesn't make junk. We can live for His purpose. We can live according to His standard. But we've got to surrender to His will. Lord, I want to be yours. I want to do exactly what you have chosen me from the beginning to do. He's chosen us for salvation in Jesus Christ. We can only be holy the way that God makes us holy, and that's in Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 16. Pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. Making some bad deals. Making some bad decisions. Pursue peace and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue it. Get after it. Be of one mind that I am going to receive and to grab hold of what God has grabbed hold of me for. To have that mind that is the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. That's just a real sharp warning of making sure that we're not a part of this world. Oh, we have to be here, yes. We can't, the Lord doesn't expect us to live in a Christian commune. That's silliness. But he does expect us not to be infected by our surrounding. He expects us to impact our surrounding. That's what light does. Light changes darkness. Light impacts darkness. That's what salt does, right? It impacts what it touches. That's what the Lord expects us to do. That's our call. That's the reality and the promise of holiness. And then the final scripture this morning, or this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Therefore, connected with what we just read, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Having that promise of being God's son, God's daughter. What comes out of that? I want to stay there. How do I stay there? I have to perfect holiness. We're talking, or as mentioned today at lunch, about golf. And I cured myself of any golfing aspirations by going to the driving range. And, you know, it looks so easy, right? You're going to get there and just going to 600 yards. Well, it dribbled off the tee. And it kept dribbling off the tee, or I would miss it altogether. I said, I'm done with this. How many of us say we're done with holiness? No. Perfecting, practicing, being observant, giving ourselves to the work of being set apart. He's made us holy. I'm going to keep myself holy. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. I want to please God. And so the way I'm going to please him is that I'm going to receive the call, his call, to be who he's called me to be. Dear heart, if you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, please know that God loves you. Please know that the reason we draw breath is because the Lord has given us life. He's given us that breath. And he's given us life for one reason and one reason only. That one sweet day, we can be with him forever. That he can say to us, well done. Well done. Come on home. But that's only if we're in Christ. The one who makes us holy. The one who separates us from the world. The one who clothes us in righteousness. Will you come tonight and put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. And his promise is that we can walk in a new life. We can't be too bad for God. There's no sin that God can't forgive, save the sin of disobedience, staying in sin. So make that choice tonight to become his child. Or maybe you've wandered away. Three weeks ago, my son and my daughter-in-law have been unfaithful for many years. But they came home. And I'll tell you that I had some glimpse, some small glimmer of a rejoicing in heaven. Let heaven rejoice over you tonight. That you come back home, you come to God and say, Father, I'm sorry. I sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. You know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to say, let's have a party. Let's rejoice. Because my son who was lost is now found. My son who was dead has now been made alive. Let heaven rejoice over you. Let those in this room put their hands on you and squeeze you and love you and tell you, you know what, I'm here with you. You're not alone. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Please come while together we stand and sing.